I would like to talk to you this morning about hearing. Hearing is a complicated process. If a tree falls in the woods, the philosophers have questioned, does it make a sound if no one's there to hear it? You can ponder that for a long time. Does it vibrate the air? Yes. But is it a sound if no one can perceive it? Naturally, for us to hear, there has to be sound. And the sound vibrates through the air, and it enters into the ear, and it reaches the eardrum, and the eardrum vibrates at different rates based on the frequency and amplitude of the sound. And the eardrum in turn vibrates the three smallest bones in our bodies, called the malleus, the incus, and the stapes. Y'all ever knew what they were called? Science class today. And it vibrates those, and they in the middle ear, and they in turn touch and vibrate and move parts and receptors that are gone to the brain for perception of that sound. Now, when a child is conceived in the womb, they will begin to hear sounds at 18 weeks. 18 weeks. I don't know what they hear. They can't tell you what they hear because they can't talk yet. But they start to perceive the vibrations and the sounds that they hear outside the mother's womb. And when their studies have shown that they know their mother's voice and their father's voice when they're born, it's the only thing that can soothe them. Mothers, what do? They hold the baby close so he can or she can hear the heartbeat. And she whispers. And they begin to calm. They've been in that womb for so long, and they have felt the heartbeat of the mother. That's why they lay them right here, right? For some familiarity of that calm place where they originated. You hearing what I'm saying? Not just the sounds, the perception of the sounds. And this baby, this child, when he is born, he is inundated with a lot of sounds that he doesn't understand and he's never heard before and he can't perceive, and they're frightening to them. Just imagine, they've been in that womb for 9 months. Dark, warm, calm, peaceful. And then the first thing they see is a bunch of lights and a doctor spanking them. I'd cry too, wouldn't you? Put me back in. And so they can't talk then. But at about a year old, they start to reproduce and mimic the sounds that they've heard, yet still not really understanding and putting things together about what they mean. But they do, at about a year, start to understand the difference between a calm voice and a sharp. No, don't do that. Tone, intonation, and context. They begin to understand that. And then by, you know, one and a half, two, they start saying words. And yet they still can't speak the whole language, but they understand more than they did before and still aren't able to speak yet. But that comes with practice. That comes, just imagine a baby that never did hear a word from anybody. Would he ever be able to talk? He might say something, but it wouldn't make any sense to you or anybody else. Would he ever even open his mouth other than making grunting sounds, maybe? I want us to think, it all depends on what you hear as to what you speak. Take this example. A baby born in Russia to Russian-speaking parents that's adopted by an English-speaking family at birth. What is that baby going to grow up speaking? English. Russian will be as foreign to them as it is to me. Just because they had Russian parents doesn't mean that they're automatically going to speak Russian. It depends on what they're around, what they hear. Jesus said many times, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." He didn't say, "Get ears to hear." He said, "Let him that has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, before our new birth, or being born again, the only thing that we know and understand is our natural way of talking, hearing, understanding. But it takes The child that is born by Russian parents but is adopted into an English-speaking family can learn Russian. He can learn Russian. Though it's going to take a lot of practice and effort and time. Now, after we're born again, all we know about speaking is natural. Or before we're born again, that's all we know. But the Spirit comes in and borns the child of God again. And then at that point, he is a babe in Christ and is, in effect, starting over with what he hears, what he understands, and what he's able to say, how he's able to say it. There's a lot of things that this babe in Christ doesn't know. There are a lot of old babes in Christ. Paul told the church at Corinth, "You have need of milk and not meat. You old people that should be able to teach others are not able to because you're still a babe in Christ." Nobody feeds young infants, newborns, meat. It'll choke them. They need nutrient-rich milk. Now, when we're born again, there's a lot of things that we understand that the Spirit reveals to us. You know, the Spirit is the best teacher. You know, we need to be taught, don't we? As newborn babes and children in a natural way need to be taught how to learn, how to behave, how to function. It's that way spiritually as well. They need teachers. And we need teachers too. And the best teacher is the Spirit of God. Would y'all agree with that? The Spirit of God is the best teacher. And yet, there are other teachers that are essential to help you understand what you hear. Do you remember the eunuch and Philip on the road? He was reading the Word of God in Isaiah. And Philip joined himself to the chariot where the eunuch was in, riding. And he said, "Understand." Philip said to the eunuch, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And the eunuch said, "How can I except some man guide me?" And he asked the question, is the prophet talking about himself or somebody else? And then Philip, from that point, preached unto him Jesus Christ. And he understood. Why? How did he understand it? Because he had ears to hear. And he was baptized. That's amazing. You see, every one of us, this Bible is a textbook to help us to understand and put in context the new language that we have. You know, because God don't speak to you like the natural man does he? God doesn't tell you the same things. And His kingdom doesn't operate the same way that the worldly kingdoms do, does it? So this new language, it's like me going to Africa and trying to learn how to speak Swahili. It's a beautiful language. I wish I could speak it fluently. But to do that, I'd have to live there and I'd have to practice every day. And really, I'd have to forsake my former conversation, my manner of life. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? Am I talking about speech? I'm talking about living kingdom principles. I'm talking about understanding kingdom principles. I'm talking about hearing the words of the Lord. I'm talking about understanding the words of the Lord. I'm talking about how the kingdom operates and our ability to move in that kingdom. But it is amazing how God gives us the natural things to explain spiritual things, isn't it? Now, this Bible helps us to understand this new language. It is kind of our textbook. And we need people to help us understand. You know, the Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. He's not going to get on to you for not knowing something. He's going to give you wisdom if you don't understand something. So many times I've read this Bible, read God's Word, and said, Lord, what are you talking about? What is the meaning of this? What context is this? And I believe I've got ears to hear. It'd be like trying to teach a kindergartner about physics. Now, the first mention of this is, well, it's in Deuteronomy, but Jesus, when he speaks, he's speaking to our new nature. If the only time he addresses our old nature is to condemn it. Do y'all agree with that? Every time Jesus speaks to our old nature, he condemns it. It should be condemned. Now, the only way for us to learn this new language is to practice speaking it and living it without reverting back to our old language or our old manner of life. You know what God calls that? In His Word, He calls that backsliding. He calls it rebellion. That's a pretty strong word, isn't it? When He's given you a new name, a new heart, a new way of looking at things, He's born you again, it's rebellion to live after the flesh. We can't help doing some of that because we're still in the flesh. Y'all understand that? But when we actively dismiss what God is saying, choosing rather to live ungodly in rebellion, then that's going after our former conversation. And the Bible never talks good about folks that do that. Now, first mention of this is in Deuteronomy 29 and 4. I want you to go back and read Deuteronomy 29 and 30. Well, I thought about reading it, but I don't have time. Deuteronomy 29 and 4, this is where they're about to cross over after 40 years of wanderings in the wilderness. And Moses is saying, God's going to give you another covenant, not the same one that you had at Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb. He said, this is a different one. And he tells them about the blessings and the cursings. But before that, he says in Deuteronomy 29 and 4, yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. And then later on, he talks about the secret things belong to God. You're not going to know everything about God's providence. You're not, but you've got a lot of questions. I know you do. And I do too. But he says the things that he's revealed to us, that's what we know. And I want you to understand how he reveals them to us. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech, which would tickle the ears of the natural man, wouldn't it? Don't y'all love to hear good speakers get up and tickle the ears of a natural man? Sonia was motivated. She had an in-service by this man who was a motivational speaker. And it motivated her while she was in the conference. But then when she hit reality, it kind of flew away like a bat. I want you to understand that the things that God says shouldn't just fly away like a bat, because it is reality. Paul says, I didn't come to you speaking with worldly wisdom, or the wisdom of the world, enticing world, words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, you know, that's a great point, and it's worth a whole sermon, but people today, you can see people that are more motivated by the wisdom of men than they are the power of God. And Paul's going to tell you about the power of God, part of it, right here. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. That means mature. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, this is in Isaiah 64 as well as Deuteronomy, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. That means there's some things that we can't see yet. We can't hear yet. We don't have the wisdom of understanding yet. Because what Paul's talking about here, he's really talking about glory here. He's talking about at that last day when the trump sounds and the Lord gives a shout and takes us home, none eye has seen that. And it really hasn't entered into the heart of man. We can talk about it. We can long for our home in heaven. But we can't understand what it's going to be like there. Now, listen to this. Verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. That's how He does it. That's because the Spirit is a revealer of godly things. Jesus said, He'll take these things of mine and show them unto you. So, He says, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? He's talking about a natural man. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So it hasn't entered into the heart of a natural man, has it? But I believe that it has been partly revealed unto us. Partly we can see with an eye of faith. Partly we can hear with an ear of faith. Partly we can understand and long for that place that we're going to be at the last day. By the Spirit of God. That's the only way that you can know it. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, again, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Paul's talking about comparing things now. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Understanding, perceiving, seeing, hearing things. Spiritual things, seeing spiritual things in natural things. Jesus told a lot of stories, didn't he? Jesus told a lot of stories. All of his parables had a deeper meaning, didn't they? He talked about events, and then he would talk to them in parables, and they didn't understand. You remember he talked to Nicodemus. He says, you must be born again. And Nicodemus says, how can a man go back in his mother's womb when he's old? And he says, art thou a master in Israel? A teacher of Israel, and knoweth you, and you don't know these things? He said, if you can't understand natural things, how in the world are you going to understand spiritual things without a spiritual ear? Got to have a spiritual ear to understand the spiritual language. You got to have spiritual eyes to see spiritual things. This is shocking. And something that the worldly religions, or let me say, well, that too, but religions of the world will not, they don't understand it. They certainly don't practice it. Verse 14. But the natural man, I'm going to break it down for you. That's the unborn again man. The man that has not the Spirit of God. The man that has not been regenerated, renewed. The man that is strictly a natural man. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them? Because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, it takes the power of the Spirit of God to born a man again. And man that is not born again of the Spirit can't understand the language of the Spirit. He can't hear it. He can't see it. And it doesn't enter into his heart at all. So why do so many people try to beat the Word into natural men? To try to get them to be something that they're not and cannot be unless they have been overshadowed by the power of God. I can preach as loud and as long as I want to a tree, and it won't hear me. Why? Because it doesn't have ears to hear. I can speak to a rock and it won't hear me. But you know what? Jesus can speak to a rock and get it to praise His name. I can't do it, but God can. Because that's the power of God. Now, I spent a long time on that. But I want us to get this. There are a few times in the Scriptures that the Bible or Jesus says about ears to hear. Let's turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And y'all know the parable of the sower. We'll start at verse 2. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, or in his teaching, hearken, that means listen. Behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Do you understand the parable of the sower?